Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Okay, this is New Medina. You're ready. If you're ready for us.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum and blessings to my. Thank you so very much. We're ready. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as well.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We begin once again with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, and we bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah and Allah alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. We thank Allah for allowing us to gather again for Salatul Jummah. The weather's been kind of off and on rough, but praise be to Allah. We pray that everyone is safe and that we get the benefit of the change in weather. You know, it's, sometimes there are dangers that come with the change in weather, but also there are benefits, and alhamdulillah. You know, for us, we think back on last year when we were praying for rain. So now we get it, so we shouldn't be complaining. We should just thank Allah for his mercy and his gifts. Just got a note here to thank the people that are joining us from AM360. We welcome you to our Juma. Khatib for today is Azizuddin Bashir. Alhamdulillah, we pray Allah that we benefit and you benefit as well. Alhamdulillah. You know, we always want to start with Allah's name. And this sort of just orients us, gets us situated. That Allah is the most important. You know, no matter what else is going on, Allah is the most important. And that reminds us that there is no God except Allah. Nothing worthy of worship except Allah. You know, Allah is not a man. He's beyond our imagination. But we can get descriptions. And we can really only describe him in the way that he has revealed. You know, we bear witness that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So we believe. Those of us who say we're believers, we believe that Muhammad was the messenger of Allah. So Allah sent his message for us and for all human beings. He sent it through another human being. And that human being was Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray the prayers and the peace be upon him. And that's a large matter. A huge matter. You know, that Allah chose one from among the human beings. You know, he could have been chosen a Chinese, could have chosen a European, could have chosen someone from Ghana. But the thing is that we all are human beings. So he chose a human being to represent human beings. And we won't fully understand why he chose who he chose. But we can look at the qualities of the man that he chose. And if we are honest and sincere, we have to bear witness that he was of the most excellent character. Even before he had received a word of revelation, he was acknowledged in his own society as being of the most highest character. You know, he came in a society that was very, very deep in corruption. But the human being, you know, something in his nature still knows right from wrong, still can recognize an honest man from a dishonest man, a truthful man from a dishonest man. No matter how corrupt the individual may be, Allah has still put that in their nature. And his society, his people, even the people that opposed his message, they acknowledged that he was the best among them. And so we thank Allah for him. We thank Allah for the revelation that he sent. Alhamdulillah. Just like to begin with a couple of verses from the Quran. And we pray that we benefit. The first verse I want to read is from Surah, the 14th Surah, Surah Ibrahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It begins, Alif Lam Ra. a book which we have revealed unto you, in order that you might lead humanity out of the depths of darkness into light by the leave or by the permission of their Lord to the way of him who is exalted in power, worthy of all praise. Alhamdulillah. This verse, that there are similar verses that are repeated in the Quran, so I just picked this one. Again, telling us that the revelation that came to the prophet, that part of its biggest purposes is to lead humanity out of darkness into the light. You know, we get the revelation, and we're supposed to think about it. You know, so one of the things when we look at coming out of darkness into light, it's just on the physical level. You know, it hadn't been on my mind, but someone was mentioning, you know, the weather that we had recently, it caused the power to go out. And a lot of times you don't realize how much light, you know, that you have in the depths of night. You know, you think, oh, all the lights are out. But there are a lot of lights that are not out. But when all the lights go out, you can't see. And if Allah takes away the light, your eyes, you can have 20/20 vision, but you can't see. You know, it's the light that gives us the power to see. You know, and this Quran, this revelation that Allah sent, it has that same function in our life. You know, is to draw us from whatever darkness that we may be in to draw us into the light. And we pray Allah that he will continue to bless us to be on this journey, because it is a true journey. You know, we come into this way of life, we take the shahada. And we bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. When we make that declaration, you know, someone comes in, they knew, we get excited. Alhamdulillah, we want to welcome them. Say, oh, you've joined the community of Muslims. And alhamdulillah, they join, and they're, you know, you say when you become a Muslim, your sins your past sins are forgiven. So alhamdulillah, they're in the best state of anybody in the house. You know, they got a clean slate. But they also have to know that, hey, this is just the beginning. You know, the clock now starts to tick. You know, what are you going to do? And how are you going to engage in this process? Because the process is to take you from whatever state you're in into the light. And alhamdulillah, the states of darkness that we could be in are many. Alhamdulillah. We'll come back to that in just a moment. I wanted to read from Surah Baqarah a couple of weeks or so ago. We talked about the Ayatul Kursi and how it gives us a clear focus on Allah, you know, and how Allah is not like anything else that we can imagine. You know, that Allah is, he's existing. He's always existing. There's never a time that Allah is not existing. You know, he sees, he hears. Everything belongs to him. You know, there's not a chance for him oh, he's taking a rest. You know, he left somebody else in charge while he took a rest. No, this is wrong idea of Allah. Allah is beyond these kind of descriptions that we give to ourselves. So I want to start with the verse that comes right after this Ayatul Kursi. Because many of us know Ayatul Kursi, we may recite it often in our prayer. And again, it's one of those verses that sort of set the tone so that you know what it is that you're talking about. You know, many people say they believe in God, but then their behavior, you look at their behavior, and it doesn't show us that they really believe in a God that sees and hears all. It seems as though they believe in a God that can be fooled, that you can say one thing with your mouth and do something else in your actions. So I want to start with this verse, 256. It says, La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion. Meaning, religion is not something you can force somebody to become a Muslim. You force somebody to become a believer. No, it's no compulsion in this. You come to this of your own free choice. You know, you evaluate whether you think this makes sense or not. And then when you decide on your own, then alhamdulillah, you begin your journey. It says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّسْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. It's true, stands out clear from error. This word is translated as truth. Rushd. It's the word we use like when we say somebody may be called Rashid. You know, we talk about the rightly guided caliphs, the Khulafa Rashidin. So the truth stands out clear from error, meaning right guidance, the right way stands out clear from error. Again, this word for error, it means all kinds of error, you know, all kinds of things that will come into your mind to deceive you away from the right way. You know, the right guidance, it says, it's clear. So when you think about it, you say, well, if it's so clear, then how can people seem to be so confused? You know, if it's so clear, then what's the problem? And you can have several things can be a problem. You know, one, you have to desire. You have to want to be right. You know, if you're just trying to say, okay, how can I get an advantage in the world? You know, then the right way is not going to be clear to you. But you're constantly looking for the right way to do a thing. You know, you have in your mind that you want to please Allah. Then the right way starts to clear up in your mind. You know, when you have a choice to make between choosing path A or path B, you know, when you reflect and say, okay, which one would be closer to what Allah has asked of us? Which one would be closest to gain the pleasure of Allah? You know, then the path becomes clearer. You know, as long as you have corruption in your spirit and you're not seeking to do the right thing, then don't expect the guidance to be clear to you. Another thing is information. If you have information, then things become clearer. The more knowledge you have on a situation, the clearer things become. And you say, oh, wow. You know, many times the adults will look at some of the youth and say, oh, why did you make that wrong step there, that choice? Didn't you see? The truth is, no, maybe they didn't see. They don't have the 50 years of experience, the 60 years of experience, you know, the 70 years of seeing bad behavior turn to bad consequences, good behavior. Even though it looks like it's a difficult road to begin with, how that ends up in the way of ease. They don't have that knowledge. But alhamdulillah, the more knowledge that we gain, then the better our choices will be, inshallah. And again, remembering that this is the purpose that the revelation was sent. Alhamdulillah, to bring us out of darkness into the light. It's interesting when we look at these words, you know, how darkness, they say that, is usually given in the plural to show us that it's many forms of darkness. You know, the same as we say, okay, if you want to count the favors of Allah, you wouldn't be able to count them. If you want to count up all the tricks and the schemes of the shaitan, you're not going to be able to count them all. But you begin to recognize the pattern and always act in Allah's protection. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek Allah's protection from shaitan, the rejected. Because he is a master at what he does. And he is the master deceiver. Meaning he will present something to you as though it's true and it's totally false. So we ask Allah always for his protection. And continue, it says, whoever rejects evil and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. Again, you look at these different words, so that Allah expressed ideas in the Quran by using different words. You know, the word that they translate here as evil is sort of a unique word. It's a taghut. Taghut. Okay. Now, Allah knows best, you know, why he uses the words that he uses. This taghut is not what you consider like a real common word. You know, it's not like, you know, you say shaitan. You know, although people will equate the taghut with the shaitan, okay? And it definitely is evil. But we look at it as, you know, when we look at this word, again, just like the Zulimat, it's plural. So we reject all forms of evil, all forms of deception, all forms of rebellion against the way of Allah. You know, Allah repeats the guidance over and over again for us in the Quran, you know, using different words, using the same words. But over and over again, bringing us back to the original foundation for us as Muslims, that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And by extension, it's the greatest gift that we have, in that we have the Quran, the book of Allah, that Allah reveals his message to Muhammad. And because of Muhammad's nature, you know, he didn't conceal anything from what was revealed to him. You know, it wasn't for him. It wasn't for him to say, oh, I got the insight from Allah. Now I can be a great leader. No, he got the insight from Allah so he could give it to us. So we thank Allah that it has come down to us. And alhamdulillah, that we pray that we benefit from it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Just want to finish reading a few of these verses and make a few additional comments. It says, Wallahu Sami'un Alim, that Allah hears and He knows. You know, this is, lets us know about the nature of Allah, but it also is a check on our behavior. For those who believe in Allah and believe that they will have to be accountable to Allah, then it's always good to remind them that Allah hears and He knows. You know, sometimes, you know, as a believer, you know, we're called to do good. You know, that's, alhamdulillah, that's just who we are. If we accept to be Muslim, then that's on us to do good. And it's good to be reminded that Allah sees, He hears, He knows all. You know, no one else is Allah. You know, so don't expect that, okay, if you do some good over here, that everybody's going to see it and applaud you and say, oh, what a good Muslim you are. No, but know that Allah sees. Allah hears. You know, you share a kind word with somebody. You know, no one may have heard that except the person you said it to. But know that Allah hears and Allah knows. You know, so alhamdulillah, you know, we all like to be appreciated. No one likes to be, you know, I would have to be careful to say no one, but most of us, we don't like to be disregarded, disrespected, you know, unappreciated. So alhamdulillah, we want that appreciation. But know that if it doesn't come from people, know that Allah sees, that Allah hears. And alhamdulillah, in the end, you will receive the reward for everything that you did. Continuing, this last verse, 257, says, Allah is the protector of those who have faith. From the depths of darkness, He will lead them forth into light. Of those who reject faith, the patrons are the evil ones. From light, He will lead them forth into the depths of darkness. They will be companions of the fire to dwell therein. Alhamdulillah. So this is the view that we have of the world. That Allah, says they say, the protector. He's the wali. He's the one that has our interest at heart, and that He brings us from the darkness, no matter what darkness it is. You know, whether it's the darkness of ignorance, whether it's darkness of oppression, you know, whether where we're being oppressed by somebody, or where we're misguided and we're being the one that's doing the oppression. We want Allah still is the one that will bring us from all that darkness into the light. You know, this is for the believer, this is his trajectory. This is his pattern. You know, we all are on a journey. And the journey of the believer is always to be going from darkness to more light. You know, from ignorance into more knowledge. You know, from corruption into right action. This is a lifelong journey. You know, it's not a one-shot deal. You know, this is our pattern. This is what we going for. You know, this will bring us closer and closer to Allah, closer and closer to what pleases Allah. You know, you learn in the Quran, it says that Allah is the light. You know, so we're never going to get all the way to the light, but we want to get closer and closer to the light. And be long, let the light shine on us. It says that the Tagut, again, they translate the evil ones, translate the same word that protector, and now they call it patron. So just like Allah is our wali, those who reject faith, they have a wali as well. But their wali is this Tagut. You know, those who establish evil, who establish corruption in the land. They are their protecting friend. And you'll see it, you know, if you these things that Allah has revealed in the Quran, they're not mysteries. You know, we may not be used to looking at them, but they're all around us. You know, we know they're in the government. You know, we know that we can see it all in foreign affairs. It's very clear and plain. You know, it's in our local governments. But it can also be in our own household, our own circle. You know, that, you know, we have to constantly ask for Allah's protection, because the shaitan, he's busy. You know, and he made his purpose in life was to deceive the righteous, to get them off of the path. So alhamdulillah, we should always be on guard. You know, enjoy our life, but also realize the reality of our life. You know, that we have to constantly be on guard, constantly be remembering Allah, constantly be thankful to Allah. As Allah said, you know, and if you appreciate him, he will give you more. And alhamdulillah, we don't know a lot, but to the extent that we've learned anything, we've learned that is the truth. Alhamdulillah. It says that these du'as at the Tagut, that he's going to take them from the light into the darkness, which again reminds us that you can be in the light. You can have the blessing. You know, we read in the Quran of people that receive revelation. They receive guidance from Allah. That's like we now look and say, oh, Muhammad, he received the guidance. Allah sent down the light. For those, there were those who before us, before the Prophet Muhammad, they also received the light. But then they fell back into the darkness. So it's a constant danger. You know, Allah will protect those who seek his protection. One of the things, just as a side note here, you know, it says these people will be companions of the fire. Now, we believe that there's a judgment coming. You know, that some people will be rewarded with paradise, and some will be placed into the fire. And the thing that's going to decide that is your deeds. What did you do? You know, once we get the message, then the question is, what are you doing with the message? What did you do? And he said that some people will come, and they'll just have just a few deeds. And some people will come and they'll have, their scales will just be heavy with deeds. Now, the opportunity is open for all of us, you know, to get as much of these good deeds as possible. You never want to allow anyone to get between you and Allah. So, well, he kept me from doing good deeds. No, they don't really have that kind of power. They may block something, but they can't stop you from doing good. Alhamdulillah. There's always a way. Always to find a way. You read it in Hadith that talk about for certain deeds that are built for you a palace in Jannah, So, alhamdulillah, this language I accepted, but it's mystery to me. I don't know what a palace in Jannah would look like. But alhamdulillah, I think it's all right for us to think about it. I pray Allah forgive me if I say something wrong, but if you get to the Jannah and you have your scales are just heavy, you've done all kinds of good all your life, then we can imagine you get to Jannah and you say, well, what's your name? And you say, well, I'm Brother Rashid. You say, oh, Brother Rashid, we've been waiting for you, You got an angel here to escort you. We got a palace already prepared for you. Don't you worry about a thing, You're gone. Everything's taken care of. No more questions. Alhamdulillah. We want that VIP treatment. If you can get it, alhamdulillah, try to get it. Another may come and he don't have a whole lot of good deeds, He got a few. And he may say, well, okay. Abdul Rahman, okay, you're good, You made it into the Jannah, but just wait there by the gate, You won't worry about anything, You'll be taken care of. But just hang out here, Alhamdulillah, you just don't get the VIP treatment. You don't get the big palace. You get your needs met, But alhamdulillah, we want the best. Alhamdulillah. I'll close with a couple other observations. We are products of our environment. Allah has made us, he's made us good. But then we come out in the world and our character gets formed, and some of us are not as inclined to do good deeds as others. And so it's more of a struggle. But Allah rewards struggle. If you come and you're addicted to wrong behavior, but you struggle and you strive against that, Allah rewards struggle. Allah sees and hears. Know that all the time. Not only is watching us to see what wrong, he's watching us to see how much effort are you putting into this. You said you believe, but how much effort did you put into it? So we pray Allah, he will constantly improve us and increase us in our good. One thought I want to leave you with is another observation. The environment influences our behavior. There's a difference between squirrels that I've seen in the country and squirrels that I've seen in the city. You know, you go to the city, you don't really, well, I'm speaking cities like L.A., you know, San Francisco. You don't see squirrels running all around. They're there, but you don't see them running all around. And you might go to a park, see squirrels. But those squirrels, you see those squirrels. They come up to people like they, hey, what do you got for me? You know, they don't come up like they fear, you know, like, hey, you want a good guy? You brought me something to eat, you know. The country squirrels that I've seen, they're not like that. You know, they're not coming out to ask you for nothing. You know, they come in, if they come out, they want you to go away so they can go on about their business. You know, they're not coming out to ask you to give them nothing. You know, they just want you to leave them alone so that they can look in Allah's creation and get what they need for their own survival. Alhamdulillah. As human beings, we can be influenced by our environment. You know, 400 years, 300 years, however many years of being under another people, constantly looking to them to provide for us. You know, it can shape our mentality, can shape our behavior, you know, to where we're constantly looking to them. You know, hey, don't you see that we're hungry? You know, how come you cut our program? What's wrong with you people? You know. But then the real natural human being, he looks at it, this is Allah's creation. Allah is not, you know, restricted. All of this belongs to Allah. You know, so the natural human being is not looking to another human being to provide for him. He's looking into the natural environment to see, okay, what do I need? How do I get it out of that? You know, and so increasingly, we want to have that spirit, you know, and look at other people. You know, not to copy them, only to copy them in what they do of good. You know, don't copy them and you see how they were racist and how they were oppressive and how they shortchanged other people in order to get rich. Don't try to copy them with that. But see how they looked into the environment. See how they took advantage of the natural creation. How they studied Allah's creation and see, okay, what kind of benefits can I get out of this? You know, many of the worst kinds of people, we can still learn a lot from them. Alhamdulillah, no one has come up with another creation other than the creation of Allah. You know, whatever good, whatever benefit, you know, has come out of Allah's creation. You know, all these lights. You know, we benefit from the lights. Alhamdulillah, the first light Allah put up in the heavens, you know, as natural lights. You know, we don't want to forget that. Whatever man has done coming after that is only coming after Allah's creation. You know, Allah has already shown the man the difference between darkness and light. You know, we look up and we say, okay, where am I? You know, we look at for the lights in the sky to tell us where we are. You man from the earliest days. You know, he could look up and see, okay, the stars. It's late at night. I don't see any other lights, but Allah has put a natural light up in the sky. And I can look at those lights, study those lights, and I can get orientation for where I need to go. You know, much less in the daytime. You know, when the sun comes up every day, you can get your orientation, which direction. You know, where is east, where is west, where is north, where is south, all from Allah's creation. You know, so don't forget those natural lessons, you know, as we go further and further on, you know, developing on what Allah has given us. But at the same time, realize that, hey, once man gets his hand in it, we have to be mindful, we have to be cautious, that it may not all be a benefit. You know, we see how devastated, you know, many of our families and situations are because we have lights now 24 hours a day. You know, we're getting away from the natural rhythm that Allah has set in motion. You know, some people, they turn on the lights, but they don't know when to go to bed. You know, as long as they can turn a light on, you know, get some electricity going, some music, something to entertain them, they think it's time to stay up. You know, we lose our bearing. You know, families, they're used together. You know, when the sun goes down, it starts to get dark. People can't work anymore outside. Families used to come together. Now no telling where anybody is. You know. So alhamdulillah, there are benefits, but we also always have to be mindful. So alhamdulillah, we pray Allah that we said something that be a benefit for this day of Juma. And alhamdulillah, that Allah will forgive us our errors and guide us to better and better behavior. I can still ask.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع السماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب اليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
ذكر الله. سبحان 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 الله. الحمد لله. 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 الله أكبر. أكبر. الله 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 أكبر. سورة الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Alhamdulillah, he robbed me, everyone. And next week for New Medina. Thank you so much, Imam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Okay. All right, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. We pray that there's benefit in our sharing Jummah today here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. We're going to go now to a public service announcement and then over to Imam Warsdeen Muhammad's sharing a commentary. Between that, should you have any comments, anything that's pressing that you need to share, please press 1 on your phone. We always want to keep that door open for you to do that. All right? Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nikhil Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
And that's reminding us of New Medina next week, everyone. Should you anyone be going? We had a quest this morning of anyone going from Florida. But just in case someone wants to acknowledge that, praise be to Almighty God. Imam Delacy Uma was asking that question as well. And just reminding us all that the New Medina retreat will be next weekend, and for those who still need to want to register, you go to New Medina. That's New Medina with the H, M-E-N-M-E-D-I-N-A-H .org, and register. All right. I believe it said by the 19th who will be fishing, because fishing will be on a separate off the land of New Medina outside. All right. So you want to make sure that you let that be known that you want to participate in the fishing. All right. Seeing no hands raised, then we'll go right to sharing from Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahimallahu Lay. You know, I was looking at the, at 1996, but this is 1996. Seven, Al-Islam, peace and peace. But as I'm looking here, let me just go with what I was first looking at. Perhaps I'll go to the snore here. All right, Al-Islam and peace, everyone. Northwestern University, 1997, February 15th, 1997. We'll see how this comes through. For us.
The following lecture titled Islam and Peace, was recorded February the 15th, 1997, on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Thank you. Peace be on you. Thank you. Peace be unto you. As Muslims greet, Assalamu alaikum. We witness that God is one, the Lord, creator and sustainer of the world. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 14 centuries ago in the peninsula called Saudi Arabia now, is the last of the prophets. And the book, the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims, is the last of the revealed books. We salute the prophet with the salutation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peace and the prayers be upon him, and what follows of that salute, that salutation. Islam, we believe, is first of all the religion of peace. The very name Islam means peace. The root word, the root word is peace. The believer in this religion is called Muslim, and it is from the same root, peace. And our greetings that we give is As-Salam, it means the peace, and As-Salam is also a name of God for Muslims given to us in the Quran. God is As-Salam. God is the peace, the board of peace, the source of peace, the one to whom we have to return and everything has to return to him, the creator, the cause, behind everything, the cause that has no cause before it, no cause before it, that is God, the eternal, the ever-living. Peace, then, is a requirement in the life of the Muslim. We have to live for peace. The name Muslim means that we are people who choose to live for peace. Peace must be had first by seeking the proper relationship with God, the creator, the cause for every other cause and effect, the cause that had no cause before it. So we have to find our relationship with God and then see our own existence in the context of the world that God created. We live in the context of the world that God created, and God says in our holy book that everything that he has created it for peace. He has created it to serve peace. So maybe it's too much for most of our minds to understand. The great philosophers perhaps are the ones that could best understand that statement. But we accept it as believers in God that everything God created, he created it to serve peace, to usher man, to edge man on, to move man sometimes against his pleasures or against his will, and then sometimes pleasantly in accord with his will. But all of these things that God has made are affecting our lives to move us closer and closer to the state of peace that God wants for us on this earth. We have another concept in this religion. The concept is the Dar es Salaam, Dar es Salaam. And Dar es Salaam is another name for the final state that God wants for mankind, and that is paradise. We believe in paradise. We believe in heaven. We believe in life after death. Al-Bati Ba'd al-Maut. We believe in the resurrection after we are dead. And we believe that we will one day, if we earn more good than bad, if our life is more good than it is bad, is good enough to satisfy God, that we struggled, we were well-meaning people, we had good intentions, we wanted to be righteous, then God is going to give us the heaven. God is going to give us the paradise. And another name for that good state that we are going to go in is the abode of peace. Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam, the abode of peace. And Muslims also believe that we get somewhat acquainted with this great end state in this life here, that we come to know something of heaven, something of paradise. We come to experience something of paradise in this life here. But the full measure of that great promise that God has for us, we will only get it in the after the judgment, in the resurrection, in the major resurrection, or the judgment, the great judgment, after the great judgment. So Muslims are obligated to be peacemakers, peace seekers, peacemakers, peace builders, peace promoters in the world. Firstly, that's what we are. We are that firstly. But I think the reason why we have so much problem with our own lives, bringing our own life into a state of peace and contributing to the progress, to the growth of the spread of peace and the increase of peace for the whole humankind, the whole world, is that we forget the contents of the Muslim life. The contents of the Muslim life is essentially the contents of a person of faith. God says of Muhammad the Prophet, says, they have heard a caller calling the people to faith. And they have responded saying, we believe. So Muhammad is seen by God in the scriptures of Muslims as one inviting the people to faith. And God addressing us in our holy book addresses us most often not as Muslims. God doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal muslimun, or Ya ayyuhal muslimin. No, God says, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, oh you believers. That's how God addresses us in the Quran. So we are most importantly we are believers most importantly, and Muslim is the state that we should be in, the state of peace. But nothing will give us that state of peace that we want unless we are really true believers. So we have to believe in God. We have to believe in God's angels. We have to believe in the books that God revealed. We have to believe in all the prophets and messengers that God sent. And most of these prophets and messengers are also known by the Jews and by the Christians. And we believe in the same prophets and the same messengers. We don't make distinction between them, saying one was legitimate and the other was illegitimate. One is a true prophet and the other one is not. We accept them all, making no distinction that would make one legit and the other one illegit or illegitimate. This is our belief. And we believe in the Qadr of God, the Qadr of God. We believe that God has created this world so that if we approach things correctly, we will get the good results. But if we approach them incorrectly or perceive them incorrectly, we get the bad results. Everything is good for the purpose that God created it for. Alcohol is forbidden to Muslims for us to drink it, for us to take it, al-khamr. It is forbidden for us to drink this alcohol or to take drugs, because the alcohol al-khamr, by study we see that it's not the liquid form, but it's the effect. And it's the trouble that this alcohol makes in the world that causes it to be forbidden for Muslims. So drugs of any kind, whether it's alcohol, heroin, crack, cocaine, whatever it is, or reefer, all drugs should be forbidden for Muslims. Now, this religion wants us to believe in God, put our faith in God, and trust in God. And God then obligates us also to believe in a human being. To believe in a human being. Because if we don't believe in human beings, we can't have peace either. We have to believe in each other. And Muhammad the Prophet is the model of the person that we can trust, the human being that we can trust. His people, before even he was called to be a prophet, our messenger, the messenger of God, the servant and messenger of God, his people called him El Amin. El Amin, the idolaters, the pagans, the ignorant and the learned, of the society that he was born into in Mecca, Arabia. They called him El Amin. When they would address him in the public, they didn't say Muhammad. They say El Amin. That was his common name, El Amin. And El Amin means the trustworthy one, the one worthy of your trust, the one that you can believe in. Then God chose him finally as a prophet, as messenger, and God says to us in our holy book, believe in God and believe in the messenger. Believe in God and believe in the messenger. And we have to obey God. Our religion is most importantly a religion that requires obedience to God. Obedience to God begins with conscience. Taqwa, called taqwa, a state of mind, an awareness in the brain that you're accountable to a supreme one, a superior one, an absolute authority that is above the king, that is above the president, above the rulers, above the Congress, above the Senate, above the army that can kill you or shoot you or kill you, above the courts that can send you to death, that there is an absolute authority above all of these authorities, and that is God, the one that created, made everything, and designed our life for it to be lived as we live it, and better, and designed everything to serve us as these things serve us. We owe that one thanks. We owe that one appreciation. We owe that one obedience. And the highest title for a believer in Islam is Abd, which means servant. Servant for Allah. Complete servant for Allah. A servant that gives his total life in obedience to God, to Allah. For a Muslim, this is what makes peace, the peace that we want, possible. This is what makes that peace possible. And God says of every person, this high title, he gives this title to Muhammad, the last prophet. God calls Muhammad his Abd. His Abd. His slave, literally, it meant his slave during the times when the Quran was being revealed to the Arabs, to that part of the world, and after when it had spread to other parts, that term meant literally a slave, Abd. But because of the way it's used in the Quran and by Muslims now, it doesn't mean a slave, it means servant. But a servant who gives himself totally in obedience to his master as a slave, knows that he cannot withhold any obedience from his master. So this is the highest title for a human being in our religion, to be called the slave of God. More acceptable now, the servant of God. To be called the servant of God is the highest title. And God calls all human beings his servants. All human beings, not just Muslims. All of us, we're servants. Now, you know, we might forget him, we might leave him, the atheists say, oh, I don't know him. But still, God says, you are created to be my servant. I didn't create jinns or human beings for anything other than my service. That's what Allah says to us. So there's another condition for peace. If we can accept that we all have the highest station with God of being created on this earth to serve him, then we can respect each other. If we all accept that God created you to be his servant, God created me to be his servant, God created the white to be his servant, God created the black to be his servant, God created the yellow, the red, all of us to be his servants. God gave us an assignment on this earth before we were born. God assigned us the position of his servant. So the one who is the best qualified to serve God, then let us respect him and acknowledge his great service and appreciate him. And we shouldn't see his color of his face. We should see his service to God. And Muhammad said, prayers and peace be on him. He said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah of Arabia, Muhammad said, the one who is best of you is the one who is best in his service to humanity. In his service to humanity. The one who is best in his service to humanity. The one that gives the most good. The one that whose work is of the most benefit. to man at large, to mankind. That is the best among us. So this religion is not service directly to God, for even when we make a sacrifice, God says that sacrifice does not reach him. We may sacrifice a cow during the Abraham commemorating Abraham's sacrifice. Peace be upon Abraham. We may sacrifice a cow and give it to the poor to feed them. We may give our own life, our own blood in sacrifice. We may see harm coming to the Muslims, and we don't want this harm to come to the Muslims. But there is an enemy that will kill us, and we may try him to see if we can defeat him. He may kill us, and we give our life. But God says your blood does not reach him, only your consciousness, only your obedience, only your taqwa. This is what God says to us in our holy book. So it's for God. We should be conscious people. The Muslims are supposed to be a very conscious society, conscious under God, aware of their obligation to God, aware of their indebtedness to God, aware that nothing would be possible for them without the God, the creator of everything. Muslims are supposed to have this taqwa. This taqwa is also requires that we have a proper regard for things of importance, and that's our mother. To regard her with the proper regard. To regard father with the proper regard. To regard the ties, the close ties for relatives. This is what God tells us in the Holy Book. To have a special regard for the close ties of relatives. The family, to value the family. These are simple things I'm telling you, perhaps. Some intellectual addressing the invitation to peace and to justice in Islam, perhaps they wouldn't have handled it differently. But I think these are the most important things. These are the first things. These simple things that we miss, causing the real problem for us in the world. If we will come back to these simple things, these simple, at-home things, at-home matters, we will can have peace in the world. To see each other as God wants us to see each other. To appreciate each other as God wants us to appreciate each other. God says that he has made us different in our looks, features, made us tribes, nations, etc., races. Not that we should become very selfish and think that, oh, my picture is the best of all. But he did this so that we would want to get acquainted with each other. You hear about a different culture, a different people from a different part of the world, and a different culture. It should make you curious. It should make you curious. You should say, that's a human being like I am. Why does he speak a different language? Why does he dress differently? Why does he worship differently? Or why does he speak differently and behave differently in the society? He has produced things. He has created things. I would like to know the things he has produced. I would like to be aware of the things he has created. Perhaps I can use some of those things he created. And perhaps he will be interested in some of the things that I have created. So this is what God wants. And this is what happens in the world. Our leaders, our presidents, our kings, or whatever, they have to be aware of the international community. They have to be aware of the effect, the relationship, and the possible effect that these different areas of the world will have on them in that particular area. So they are forced to want to know the other nation, something about the other people, their culture, their thinking, their culture, etc. So we are living in the time now, right now, the time of inclusion, where the great conscious leaders of the nations are pushing for inclusion, pushing for respect for each other, recognition of each other, even appreciation of each other, so there can be more cooperation between each other and for each other, the whole global society. We are living in the time, as I see it, we are living in the time of the conclusion of things, the conclusion of the matter, under God. We're living in a time that's going to bring religious people to more seriously think about God. It's going to bring religious people to even rethink their own religion, to see if they have misread are misunderstood their own religions. Their own religions do not fit into this inclusion, this need for inclusion. Then they're going to have to study even their own religion. And God has given us the best instruction. God tells us in our Quran, in our holy book, and take the best thereof. And take the best thereof. So here's another requirement for peace and justice, that we be motivated toward excellence, that we want more and more excellence, that we are never satisfied with the amount of excellence we have in our life, that we still want to perform a bit better, a little better. We still want to do a little more constructively. We still want to contribute a little more to the peace and harmony and health of the world and future of the world. This is what God wants from us, that we pursue excellence and that we be motivated by excellence. The prophet said that God, when he created everything, he inscribed in his very nature excellence. Excellence. And I'm sure you who think scientifically, you could understand that as, perhaps better than I do, that this whole world has been evolving. It used to be much more simpler than it is now. It used to be much more crude, rough, unfinished. But it is evolving more and more into excellence, excellence. Even the animal kingdom is more excellent now than it was millions of years ago. The saber-toothed tiger and the great dinosaurs, they gave an ugly face to the animal world. Now the ugly creatures are so small and so few that we don't think of the animal kingdom as an ugly kingdom. It's a beautiful kingdom. It's a beautiful kingdom. So even the will of God that created the animals is evolving the animals to be more kind, more acceptable to human beings. We can find many witnesses for God's way, God's will and his way. This is bringing the world, if we stay in the context, as I refer to the context of creation, if we stay in the context of the whole creation, the total creation, and try to see our place under God, along with the plan of God for the whole creation. This is what the Muhammad the prophet taught. This is what the Quran wants from us. That we see our reality in the context of the total reality. And that we understand that all reality has been made by God. And all reality is designed by God. And the destiny, the end for all reality, already predetermined by God. And all of it is working to bring man to the state that God wants man in. Who would have thought that in this century, 1997 we are now, that our president would be giving a speech that any sincere believer would be moved by? His State of the Union address, President Bill Clinton's State of the Union address. Any believer would be moved by the words of the president. Not sounding so political, not sounding so much as a government head, but sounding like a human being as well as a government head. Sounding really human as well as government. Sounding like a spiritual being as well as a political being. So we are moved by that. And it's because the world now has become that global village. Global village. We can't live separate from each other. We can't do our own things with no awareness and no respect for what others have to do. We have to be aware of what other nations are doing and what other nations want. We have to respect the will of other people, the will of other nations. This is a time for peace. God has ushered in the time for peace. And our religion, in my opinion, is the religion of peace. And the religion that is most significant, most relevant in this time of inclusion, in this time of hope for global peace. Our religion. Our religion is the religion of unity. Our religion is the religion of oneness, unity, oneness, which suggests that we all will have to one day accept inclusion for everybody, for everybody. Tawheed, God is one. Reasoning from that position or from that premise, God is one, we go from that premise, For all that he has created is affected by the principle of oneness. Because he is one. So everything is affected by the principle of oneness. So there is a oneness for everything that he made. There is a unity for everything that he made. Everything that he made. But where it is most important for us is in the human society. There is a difference that we have to respect. We should respect our national differences. We should respect our cultural differences. We should respect our racial differences or our physical differences. We should respect it. God made it. God intended it. God wanted it that way. No one should think that his features are not excellent. The African features are excellent. The European features are excellent. But more excellent than all of these separate pictures is the common picture for all people. The picture that we need to come back to in order to have peace and justice in the world. And that is the picture of our humanity. The picture of our human state that God created. God says that he made your picture, and he made your picture most excellent. That's what God said. This is not my words. This is God's words in the Quran. He made your picture, and he made your picture most excellent. Talking about all people. So here is God using picture in the singular. So what is that single picture, that one picture that he made for all of us, the one that he wants us to see, that is the most excellent of all of our pictures? It is the spiritual picture. It's the human picture. It's the picture of our true humanity. Praise be to God. So these simple observations that are within the reach of all of us, the most common citizen, these are the observations that we need to make if we are to have peace and justice in the world. And our leaders above us, the President of the United States, the President and King of Saudi Arabia, and Presidents of other nations, Prime Ministers, they all want us, the citizens now, to help their governments perform better and to free their governments so that their governments can do more. More for peace, justice, inclusion. And the only way we're going to do this is by following the simple light that I have been addressing during this address here on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston. Now, in concluding this, because we're going to open for questions, and perhaps question and answers will offer a better chance for you to get what you came here for. I don't know what you came here for, but I hope we can help. I read recently in the Temple section of the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, by an author, and he was describing or perhaps just presenting, I think he's just presenting, a new book by a very popular scientist. And this scientist, his name is Carl. Here, I have it here. I write so small I can now. I need more glasses. Yes, his name, Sagan. Thoughts are running through my mind. I couldn't get rid of his name. Carl Sagan. And the writer for the Tribune, staff writer, Ron Grossman, he points out that this particular well-known scientist is critical and kind of pessimistic. Critical of the American people, the way we think, the way we are thinking. And he says, the average American knows and cares less about science than they do about pseudoscience and superstition. That's not good for our society. Going into this second millennium with all the scientific development and technology and computer world, the computer age, in this new world of reality, it's not good for American citizens to be given to superstition and pseudoscience more so than to science. Our religion has no conflict with true science. Our religion promotes true science. And if our religion makes a contribution that is very special in this world, I think the contribution is its emphasis on appreciation for the sciences and education and public education, liberal education. This is Islam. Within a relative short period of time, the Muslims have come from the dark ages of what we call Jahiliyyah Arabia, ignorant Arabia, pagan, idolatrous Arabia, had come from that dark period to establish many colleges and universities in Damascus, Syria, Baghdad, Iraq, and many places. The colleges and universities just sprung up. They just began to spring up. So if we have a real contribution to make, it is a contribution toward the progress, the increase for respect and higher value to be placed on higher learning in education and public education. And equal education for females. The prophet said that knowledge is the right of every believer, male and female. Every believer. It's the right. So this is an inherent right in Islam. We see as an inherent right, a given right to you by virtue of your being created by God. It is your given right to have access to education, equal education, as much education as you can qualify for. And we haven't gotten there yet, but we should be with the modern world, the progressive world, and promoting more attention to be given to the need for quality education, and that every citizen should have access to that education if they qualify. We should be among those foremost among them, really. And another great contribution from Islam is unity. It's unity. That it recognizes the prophet. Look at the language of the prophet during his farewell address almost 1,400 years ago. Listen to his language. He talked about respect for each other's life, that your life, the life of a human person, is sacred. Your brother's blood, the blood, is sacred. He talked about property rights. Said his property is sacred. His property is sacred. That everyone is entitled to property, and we cannot take his property or deprive him of his property or deprive him of the right to try to earn enough income to buy property or to acquire a piece of property. Property rights are sacred in Islam. But he went on further. He addressed the mistreatment of women. He said, see that you treat women well. See that you respect them. They are your mothers. They are your sisters. They are your daughters. So he taught us respect, to respect the women. If he made this an issue for his last or his major address, the major, most important address he ever gave in his life, his farewell address, if he made the treatment of women the issue, then we must understand that women were not being treated right at that time, and if they're not being treated right at this time, then the treatment of women should be a major issue in the Islamic, among the Islamic intellectuals, the scholars, and the government people. It should be a major issue, the treatment of women. So we had a prophet who spoke in that time, but also spoke for this time. We're still having the same problem. Our great leaders of conscience now, over these governments, over our nations, they want us to accept economic justice. But how can they promote economic justice if we have our separate cultures in the way of economic justice. If we have our separate cultures that make us think that because I'm white, I'm better than a black man, or because I belong to this culture, this religion, I'm more important to God than this yellow man or this other man. If these cultures are in the way, and that's what it is, it's not the religions. We don't understand our religion if we have those attitudes. No genuine religion gives us such attitudes. It's the cultures that have confused religion with the culture that gives us these no good attitudes, these ugly attitudes. So these things stand in the way of peace and justice in the world. I'm an African-American man with great ambition. I'm a senior citizen now. I get a lot of breaks. I do. But I still feel like I'm mistreated. I still feel that I'm discriminated against. I still feel that racism is a problem for me in the world. I don't feel that I can just go with my money to any businessman and get the deal and he won't look at my face and say, this is a Negro. This is a black man. This is an African. No, I feel that I'm still subject to run into that kind of fella in the business world. And that kind of fella might be the fella I need for my business. So it's not good yet. So in my conclusion, people, let us take seriously the simple things. And let us all do what God asks us to do. And I think God asks Christians and Jews to do the same thing. When God says, I put before you two ways, this is in the Old Testament, I put before you two ways, but he wants you to only choose one way. Put before you two ways. He wants you to choose only one way. So in our scripture, God is telling us about nations that have gone, that lived and had their glory, and passed away. He's telling us about great personalities. God is telling us about great personalities who ruled, and they handled their affairs, and they're gone, and they're passed away. We don't want to take example from the wrong personality in the scripture. We don't want to take example from the wrong occurrence in the scripture. We want to be selective. God wants us to be selective even in when we are reading scripture. Be selective and take the best thereof. And God says the book is basic and allegorical. And those who follow the allegorical over the basics, they have a disease in their hearts. So let us be selective and take the best thereof. Peace to you. Assalamu alaikum. Now, who's going to handle this question?
Will the brother come forward, the brother that's in charge from the Muslim Student Association? Can you come and assist with us with a question and answer, please? Brother Osman, yes, thank you. All right. All of those, brothers and sisters, all of those who have questions, can you come forward so we can hear the questions? You can come down in perhaps in this aisle, over in this aisle right here. Those who have the questions, can you come forward?
Yeah, I wish they could have a mic because my ears are not the best. I would like for you to come around and come to the mic. Can they just come up here with us? It's okay, no problem. Right. Come up here with us.
My question is that Imam was talking about unity and within race relations and stuff like that. And even amongst the Muslim population, we see like division in the population. And so I was wondering, on a practical level, what do you think is the solution and the way to move forward as a humanity, as Muslims, and as believers?
We hear, we know the, about the Iranian resurgence, the revolution of Iran, but there's a quiet revolution going on. And we have hope, this new thinking in the Muslim leadership among the intellectuals, but also among the spiritual people. We have a new thinking. And we are realizing that colonial domination has set back Muslim learning and has confused Muslim learning and have given left us with many ignorant ideas and many misperceptions. And now is the need for us to go back with fresh minds, with free minds, and rethink our own religion, study our own religion, search it, as God says in the Quran. Why don't they research the Quran? Why don't they research the Quran? Well, this invitation should be first to us, Muslim brothers and sisters, and the leaders and educators. It should be to us to research the Quran and see if we are in line with it. And that's what's going on, and I'm very much encouraged by it. There are some great think tanks in America, here today, the Minaret group. They're a great group, and they are doing a great service, and new lights and new understanding will come to us again. We are living, as I believe, in the time for the rebirth of Islam, the rebirth of true Islam. So we have faith in our new leaders, our new thinkers, and they are all over the world. They are even in Iran, some of them. They are all over the world. So don't underestimate what's going on. There's something very, very serious and significant going on. And I think in America, too, the same thing. I'm meeting with Christian leaders who belong to world organizations, looking to see how can they contribute to a better world, more peace and more justice in the world, putting their life on the lines many times, trying to get landmines to be on the top of the agenda so that people won't be endangered by these landmines that the wars have left, and a great danger, a great threat to the citizens in those areas where the landmines exist. In Bosnia and other places, these landmines are still existing, and they need to be removed. They're doing a lot of courageous things. And when we meet with each other and start to speak with each other and get relaxed in conversation, believe me, something very powerful happens. You stop seeing that person as a Christian. You stop seeing that person as a Jew. You stop seeing that person as a Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. You start to see that person as a believer in God. And God said in the beginning there was light, right? And darkness. Well, I think we're coming to a time again when there's just going to be light and darkness. And then we'll find other things, but that's the most serious distinction, light and darkness. Yeah, I'm sorry to start talking again. You owe me a little more money, too. You see, I'm preaching all the time.
I do have two questions. Yes. One of them?
Yes.
Use the mic so they can hear you. Should I ask you both questions or just choose one?
Well, if they're too long for my brain, ask one at a time.
I don't think there's much to your brain. Well, one of them has to do with, you said we derive out of superstition to understand the allegory of the scriptures. And I think one of the major problems that's occurring in Islam today in many religions is the sometimes literal interpretation of things, which causes a lot of problems. So what do you think we need to do about things like that, people who want to, like, believe that they're actually jinn floating around speaking into our ears and stuff like that, whereas, you know, that's actually just like an allegory for psychological. So that's one idea. What should we do about the problem of superstition where the Quran and other scriptures are supposed to be just allegorical? And the second thing is that I think it's easy to say that we can be unified under one God and all that good stuff, but what about people who don't believe that God is a personal being, and like, how do they fit into the whole concept of unity, of humanity?
Okay, thank you. Yes. For the first question, I think the easy step for us to make is to look at the life of our Prophet Muhammad. To look at his life, not as a mystic. The Prophet
was most importantly a liberator. In our holy book, the Quran, God says of Muhammad that he is the one mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil, which means in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, as a liberator, one who would free the people from bondage, the slavery. He would free them from slavery, all forms of slavery, that he would take from them the heavy yokes, break the bonds of slavery. And how would he do it? He would do it as a teacher, as an educator. So the Prophet Muhammad is first of all an educator. He's a teacher, bringing enlightenment back to the dark world. We should see the Prophet as such, and we should see our order as the order of Abraham. And Abraham, peace be upon him, Abraham in our religion is the prophet of rational faith, not just faith. Strong faith, but rational faith. So our religion wants us to be less inclined to that is not useful for us, useful in a real world. And the prophet said, seek useful knowledge. Seek useful knowledge, not just knowledge. One who seeks knowledge for knowledge's sake is not obeying the teachings of Islam or the prophet. He must seek useful knowledge, knowledge that he can bring back home and benefit his family, knowledge that he can bring back to his neighborhood and the neighborhood benefits, knowledge that he can use in the world and the whole humanity benefits. So if we would put emphasis on rational faith and emphasis on the prophet as an educator, I think we can overcome a lot of this trend toward superstition and mysticism. And for the last question, which was, how, see there, the mind was a little bit too small for that. The last question? The atheists and others. The teaching that we have requires belief in God, but there are some who care less for religion. So how are we going to reach them? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, believe me, the communists, like Malcolm X, at one time when I got disillusioned and was fed up with a lot of nonsense in our so-called religion we had as black Muslims, I started reading. I said, well, these communist people, they're a great influence in the world. Let me see that. I want to do justice to everybody's thinking. So I got books on Marx teachings and et cetera, and I read those books. And I come to believe that really, communism did not really see Islam as the enemy, but blind faith as the enemy. Superstition, blind faith as the enemy. And that's the opium of the people. Superstition and blind faith is the opium of the people. So that's the way I saw the communists, way I saw their criticism of religion. And I think that if we come with Islam in the right way, an atheist will respect Islam. An atheist will benefit from Islam. We have many people who belong to other religions. They benefit from Islam. In fact, the whole modern world of science, you know, has benefited from Islam. It was Islam who first lit the torch to bring about a new appreciation for science and knowledge and research to bring on the Renaissance that we have experienced here in the West, and that we are so grateful for. Martin Luther and the new interest in science and the new interest in not going to anybody's books to appreciate what they have been blessed with or what they have been able to get from their scientific research, from their studies, from their intellectual pursuits. We appreciate that. And I think if Muslims will just present ourselves correctly and keep fighting the incorrect image, the misrepresentation of Islam in the media and in the world, I think we will find that we will make a great contribution toward peace and justice, and many of the people will have some of our tools in their hands, even though they're not going to call themselves Muslims. And that will make us feel good, won't it? I think it would make us feel very good. Thank you. No more questions? Yeah, it's okay with me because the money is short too.
Thank you, Imam Muhammad. The Quran speaks about being on a journey, on a path. And next year, you will celebrate 20 years since you took a large portion of what was then the Nation of Islam into Orthodox Islam.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell us how you characterize that journey now, and are you at the point today that you thought you would be 20 years ago?
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I characterize that journey as a journey of the innocent. The innocent. We were in the Nation of Islam, our black Muslim ideas, but many of us were completely innocent. We were thinking that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was really the messenger of God. We were thinking that his teacher was really God, and that Honorable Elijah Muhammad got his message from his teacher, who was God, and that made Elijah Muhammad the messenger of God. We were really believing that. And we were believing all the other hard-to-believe things. We were forcing ourselves to believe them because we believed he was the messenger of God. See, once you believe a man is the messenger of God, you will force yourself to believe other things that he says that won't quite jail up here. You see? So we were innocent. And I see it as a journey of the innocent. A journey of the innocent. And God will come to the aid of the innocent. We say in Islam, matters are judged by intent. So if you're well-meaning, if you mean right, though you're doing wrong, God's not going to punish you for that wrong because you didn't know you were doing wrong. He'll punish you once you become conscious of it. So once we became conscious that we were doing wrong, if we didn't break with that wrong, then we're going to get punishment. Yes. So it was a journey of the innocent, and I couldn't have imagined, I couldn't have possibly imagined that our message would be given as much, I would say, welcome in the world as it is given. I have been recently appointed to the a commission by the State Department, a committee serving on the scenes of on the scene of foreign affairs, foreign relations for the United States, for the President and the State Department. I'm one of 20 persons on that committee. And the committee is divided into two groups, one on the persecution, religious persecution, and the other group on tolerance and conflict resolution, resolving conflicts, not just for religious parties, but for political parties, resolving conflicts. I couldn't have dreamed that I would be put on such a committee. So have I gone as far as I thought I could go, or have we come as far as I thought we would come at this? It's amazing. I can't believe it. I think I'm in a dream world sometimes. I tell those big boys that I associate with, they had a language problem trying to finalize the grammar for a statement that was going out from our committee. And they had all those heavy boys working on it, and I thought they were just contributing to the confusion. So I said, what you need is a C student to help you on that. But I recognize I'm among people who have doctorate degrees. Some of them have several doctorate degrees. They have fame and popularity in the intellectual circles and in the political world, and I don't. But I'm treated as an equal on that committee of 20 people. And I think the government is realizing that it has 20/20 vision, but the spiritual leaders can contribute a little bit more to one of those 20. So they have better 20/20 vision. Thank you very much. Thank you.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. Thanks for listening.
Well, dear listeners, we pray you enjoyed the message. Assalamu alaikum. The peace, al-Islam peace, as Imam expressed it, I won't begin to repeat what he said, letting it all soak in and allowing ourselves, myself and you, that we concur with what we heard, that we also do an assessment of ourselves. And as we spoke this morning about the oppressive language environment and how we want to evolve from it consciously, and that's just self-assessment every step of the way. What materials we're reading, but first, assessing our thinking and applying ourselves in a very beneficial manner. So pray, so much was answered in the man's presentation this afternoon that we shared that connected with our morning sharing. So praise be to Allah. Thank you for you. And if you're having something to share, please press 1, and we do have two callers here, 334. Brother Michael Hamid, trying to bring you in here. Assalamu alaikum, Michael.
Alaikum assalam, Martha Nyla. Thank you. I really enjoyed that presentation of the imam. And my spirit is being pressed by this idea that the imam has given us an awareness of language environment and how it can oppress. Well, the language environment of the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, also seen as a word, a word that comes to our five senses in observing how to live the life of the Quran, al-Islam. And so, without him saying directly, our assignments, in whatever way that we see how to initiate them or continue to expand what we can do, what we see we can do, should be to actively grow the constructive language environment that the Quran teaches us. I was listening to Study Al-Islam program a week or so ago, and Sister Marsha Nivens, I think she's got a new name now, maybe in terms of her being recently married.
I think it's I think it's Muhammad. Isn't his name Mujahideen Muhammad? Or Muhammad Mujahideen?
Yeah. I'm not sure, but she's a brand new woman now. she made a comment that she was becoming more aware of her own language environment and conscious in terms of how she expressed herself, in her conversation. And if we can grow into that sensitivity in the masjids and the Islamic centers, where we put that first priority that the imam gave us first, education, if we can create a stronger language environment in our meeting places and in our homes, if we can do that, and establish that within ourselves, we'll be making a great contribution towards moving our human life and the life of those that we care about, our children and others, moving it forward in a healthier and more productive way, because we are aware. And look at the picture that the imam gave us. The Nation of Islam was more than just bean pies and newspapers. that the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was a language environment. And many of us were not aware of the extent to which the Quran was in that environment. Imam Darnell Kareem and his wife Gloria and others, Imam Muhammad and his brother Akbar, were taught by Dr. Jamil Diab, Quranic Arabic. So many of us didn't realize that the Quran was more than just sitting on the shelf or a high place in our homes, but the Quran was actively working within the life of members of that community. So it shouldn't be any surprise that God, in his mercy, favored Imam Muhammad to understand the Quran in a very insightful way and to understand the utility of the Quran with a fresh perception. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's so much you opened the door to in my mind, but I won't go there because it will really take time. And that will be tonight then, inshallah, that we will continue to gather ourselves. Well, I will say this, that and as the avenues of in the communities that we're connected with for our evolutionary stages, with the leadership of Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah, that we not become, because we know it is a mission of getting ourselves more aligned with the benefit of a language that is more straightforward with developing the human life excellence, then we not become offended when we get corrected. Prayerfully, everyone will be tactful, but sometimes it will have to be brought out in large audiences, and it's not to embarrass or to make a scene of anything. When it happens, just be aware of what's happening, what's going on, and that we find that we're correcting being made every day by those who are really intentional about it for the better, inshallah. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so very much. Okay, and we go to 914. 434, Muhammad Sharif. Let's see here. I'm opening your mic now. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Martha.
Alhamdulillah. You're full, huh?
Right. Yes, sir. You just said something a few minutes ago in reference to we have to be able to help each other along and make corrections where there need to be and not to get offended about it. You know, Imam said about the hand, he said it is a correction, a continuation, and a completion. Correction, continuation, and completion.
Okay.
Correction, continuation, and completion. Now, Imam, also, we should have some way we get everyone to hit the same thing, the same program, but that can't be done. We're in different locations, we got different leaderships, and it can't be done, but I still wish we get everyone to hear everything that the that's been Nam has said, which we know that can't be done. But this right here, the man explains something. So there have people have been telling that it, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership was strict. That's not true. Well, I'm saying a lot of people should hear this, that's saying that. And Nam explained that. We believe that the man that came here for Muhammad was God. And explained that if you believe that, then you're going to listen to everything else that's being said. He said, Farah Muhammad thought what he's doing was the right thing, and his intent. It said, everything is based on your intent. To Farah Muhammad, what he brought to Elijah Muhammad, was his intent was good. His intent was good, and everything is based on your intent. So what Elijah Muhammad brought, it was not shrink or nothing like that. You know, where we were at that time, and people need to know this. The man's intent was good. Imam explained that. All who heard that this morning, not for the first time, but to hear that the man's intent was good. So Muhammad's intent was good, and that's one reason why Allah blessed him to be successful. And what we followed with, we didn't have that understanding. But when Imam came in, he gave the right intent, and he explained the leadership of Elijah Muhammad. And we were on, these corrections need to be made, because there are too many people out there saying that it was shirk. That's not true.
Yes, your mic is still open, Mike.
If I may share something that the Imam shared with us. You know, we look at how Islam looks at God in the person, how Islam proper looks at the idea of multiple gods. But he said, in the heart of those who have those ideas, he mentioned the movement in terms of innocence, the language may have been wrong in the nation, as well as I'm going to just say with no disrespect, as well as how we look at the language of Christianity and the problems that we have with it, but the sincerity and the heart. The Imam talked about how a Christian may say that there are three gods, your Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But in their hearts, and when they get in trouble, there's only one God that their soul is calling on. And similarly for the Nation of Islam, you know, you could look the same way. You know, you could say, you know, and they have said, you know, well, the Nation of Islam was practicing shirk. Well, we understand the definition. But we also understand that Allah knows the innocent heart, and so, and He considers that beyond the what do you call the legalists, you know, and how they're looking at just the surface of the page of law, you know, it's more than just the surface page of law, you know, and we have an example of that in Islamic society, if someone steals, and the judge has them in court. And they say, well, I stole because I was hungry. You know, I wasn't able to find a job and this and that. The judge looks at those circumstances, and he may charge the city or the state with not caring for this individual where they're forced to steal to survive, to stay alive. Similarly, you know, we can eat pork to keep ourselves alive. There's so many examples in the rational practice of al-Islam, not the emotional practice. This is problematic not only among Muslims, but among others of faith, the Jews practicing Judaism emotionally have their ears open to Zionism, which will practice genocide to get ahead, you know, to be further established in their goals and aims. They're willing to kill thousands upon thousands of people, you know. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation, Muhammad and Martha.
Thank you, ma'am, Michael.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Well, to both of you and to everyone who's listening, we're going to ask that everyone come back tonight for I guess the dessert. No, why I'm putting it that way, y'all forgive me. But for another conversation, sharing of the conversation continuation, because we're continuing. We can't step away from the 50-year human family strategic planning, and it's in every step that we make now. And from my perception of things, so praise be to Almighty God. Our contributions are really being heard. Everything is meshing, contributing to our development. And prayerfully, may we generationally connect so that we can consciously share this information to the younger generation as wise individuals being conscientious. So praise be to Almighty God. I love that the Imam said innocently we entered into what we thought was the proper manner, proper way, because we were searching. And when we connected with that, every step was a step higher. So here we are. And we look behind us. Who's coming? So praise be to Almighty God. Y'all, thank you. Michael and Muhammad, do you have any other comments within the next couple minutes?
I'm looking forward to dessert, even though I'm diabetic.
You can have sugar-free. Sugar-free dessert.
I'll take your portion, Brother Michael. I'm not diabetic yet, so I'll take your portion right now.
All right. Okay.
You're gonna tell him you'll take it now, huh?
Yes, that's right.
All right, and then we'll look forward to Rain to help us out on that. Help me out.
International.
Yeah, that's the company, but the item itself. Muhammad, you're supposed to be helping us out with that.
I didn't hear. I was listening to something in the background.
Okay. We're saying, along after we eat the dessert, then you come to the aid with the Rain International item.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Rain International. It has a health and a monetary benefit. You can come on and take Rain to help your health condition, even if a minor thing, or if you want to keep your good health up. And also, you want to develop your money benefit. We got people coming in there earning money. I mean, people from places like Bosnia and, I mean, many places had no money whatsoever. They saw a benefit in that. They went somewhere and borrowed $200 or $300 to get into the program. And now they are some of the top producers. People making six figures and all of that. I mean, we know how much we need money. Finances. Got a health benefit and a financial benefit. That's why I said everyone go to our website, rainintl.com, or you can put in Seed Nutrition, and that'll take you to the website. Thank you for giving the opportunity to speak on Rain International. Sister Martha.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll hear it again tonight as we have our dessert. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm going to share the little on humanity and then being thankful. Hold on. Let me get here. Humanity. Do what you say.
Said I may not know you. You may not know me. But humanity, everybody's been there. Said I may not know you. You may not know me. But humanity, everybody's been there.
Early in the morning,
as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls will keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta
be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Columbus, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for the life and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
for the warm rays of sunshine. Dog up like the night, friends are lost forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
And then if you don't